Our scripture today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And He sustains all things by His powerful word. When He had made purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, on this morning when we celebrate Your entry into time and space, our minds cannot comprehend the awesomeness of incarnation. That You who conceived the world, molecular structures, entered this world to breathe, to bleed, to work, to love. Thank You. Praise You. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for Your amazing love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On Christmas, as in so many of the church's liturgical days, there is this beautiful tension, the tension that exists within all robust theology between things that seem as if they are incompatible and yet somehow they are. Today, we remember that God has spoken. But Christians throughout all of history have spoken to one degree of another or another about the unknowable God. The mystics will say that you only begin to comprehend God when you understand that God is incomprehensible. You only begin to get some sense of how finite and small we are when you try to take the material matter of your brain and put the infinite reality of God within it to realize that all we have is but a sketch of the reality that is God. The mystics will say that there is this aspect of God that is unknowable. That is a question. His might is too amazing for us to encounter. If we were to see God, that vision would in some cases be destructive to us. There are philosophical traditions that speak of the truth of this, that the infinite can't be comprehended by the finite, that we're limited by language. I can say to you, God is good. But when I say to you, God is good, whatever that produces in your mind is so far beneath the real goodness of God. It is so inferior to the actual nature of God as to deem sometimes our own language silly. We're limited in our rational abilities. Our reason can only take us so far. God is greater than our thoughts. We find this in both Testaments. In 1 Timothy, we see, it is God alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. We see in the Old Testament this vision of the unknowable God when Isaiah says, "For the Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So at the beginning, there's this sense of this God who is beyond our wildest imagination, who is in a sense to us unknowable. The mystics say that's actually the point at which we begin to know something about God. There's another line, though, in this tension of theology that brings us this idea that God is partly knowable. That we can, in fact, know something about God. There's a mystery, there's a shade, there's a fogginess to this knowledge of God. But Paul says we can look at the world and deduce a couple of very important things. What can be known about God is plain to all people, all the people of the world, because God has shown it to them. Now, did you catch that? Because God has shown it to them. God is utterly unknowable unless God shows it to us. Ever since the creation of the world, Paul says, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. And so the people of the world are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. There is this sense of wonder in the world. If you go to the mountains, we drove through the mountains last week to get to South Carolina and North Carolina, and you see them in the distance, and some of them are darker than others, some of them are light. There's the clouds that are up on the top of the mountains. And if you pass by certain areas, you can see for miles and miles and miles, and there's this powerful beauty. This powerful beauty makes me praise God. It makes me grateful that I am there to see what I'm seeing. It brings me a wonder at the power, the might of God. Paul says, people are without excuse. When you stand before something that takes your breath away, you ought to have a sense of gratitude. And if you have a sense of gratitude, then you ought to at least ask who you should be grateful to. In theology, we have this notion of the unknowable God. Paul offers us this notion of the partly knowable God, but that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that we can know God because God discloses himself to us. The end of the story is that in the midst of all of this tension, there is Bethlehem. In the midst of all of this philosophical banter, there is a baby. In the midst of the world's chaos, we find Mary and Joseph and God. We can know God because God reveals himself to us. We can know God because God has chosen to show us his nature, his character. We can know God because God wants to be known. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. As we celebrate the incarnation, we move from this idea of a God who is beyond understanding to the idea of a God who has given us these rational gifts that if only we stand in the right places and look at the right things, we want to say thank you and realize there's someone we should say thank you to. But God has gone much further than that. God has revealed himself by entering into our world. And Jesus, who would grow from the baby in a manger to the child in the temple to the teacher in those regions of Galilee and Judea to the bloodied corpse on the cross to the glorified risen one. Listen. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. Do you want to see God? God has revealed himself to us. God has revealed himself to us in his word, which is trustworthy and true. God has revealed himself to us through his Spirit, which moves among us. And God has revealed himself to us in the Logos, which is translated Word in John 1. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. Dear friends, do you want to know who God is? Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Do you want to know why awful things happen in the world? You can ask God, but remember the one you're asking is an innocent man who was crucified. You can ask why some of your friendships and your family relationships are fractured, but remember you are asking one who was betrayed by a friend through a kiss. You can ask why it is that people judge you unfairly, but remember you are asking one who was born of a virgin and was talked about in his hometown, who Joseph wanted to divorce his mother quietly because Joseph knew how babies were born. He is the exact imprint, the reflection of God's glory. He who created it all, experienced it all, and he sits at the right hand of the Father to intercede for you and for me. You want to know who God is? God has spoken. He spoke long ago in many different ways by the prophets. But in these days, He has spoken by His Son, who shows us who He is, now and forever. There is something unknowable about God. There is something that we can deduce about God. But hear this, there is something that God wants us to know about Him. And these things He has revealed to us through the Incarnation, through His Son. Let us listen to Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we ask who You are, when in fact You long to show Yourself to us. Lord, sometimes we wonder what it might be like to walk alongside You, and yet You have shown us in Your Word what it is like to listen, to walk, to eat with You in our presence. Today, as we gather with family and friends, today as we celebrate, may we not forget that You have come to us because You want to be made known, that You have come to us because You want each one of us to know and to love You, even as You know and love us. Grant us the grace, O Lord, to seek and to find through Jesus Christ. Amen.